Lord, we come before you this morning, resting in that truth that we just sang, that the victory is yours. God, victory looks a little different for everyone today. Some needing to overcome an addiction. Some needing to simply know who they are, their identity. But God, we know that you are the great provider. The victory comes from you. It's in your name, Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. God, let us rest under that banner all the days of our life. And God, for the sick and hurting that are in our congregation, that are in our church, we pray for them. There are many, too many to list. But God, we ask that you give them encouragement. Remind them that the church is not limited to just a building. And God, we ask that you show your face today. Show your face maybe for the first time to someone. Soften a heart. Open a mind. Force a soul to become curious because they're hearing the truth for the first time. But God, even as we continue to talk about these topics that our world labels as difficult and divisive, we ask that you show your grace. You're a graceful God. You're a merciful God and a just God, but you're a good God. And you know the plans you have for us. And those plans are good. So God, we say that we love you so much. We trust that you're going to do a work today. I ask you to, again, if you desire to speak, and it is not on these notes that I have prepared, I beg you to do that. Use me to speak your truth full of grace. And I say that I love you. For those that are here that know you, we love you so much. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray these things. And all of God's people said, amen. Well, we are so glad that you are with us this morning, that you have chosen to worship with us here at Hope. We pray that you see God's grace this morning. And of course, if you're new, please make sure that you check out that connection table there in the back lobby. Get yourself something to take home that you could remember us by, of course, but also so that we can get you plugged in here at our church. We are so glad you're here. On December 13th, 1971, a lawsuit was filed that changed the course of our nation forever. The lawsuit was this: a person may choose to have an abortion until a fetus becomes viable based on the right to privacy contained in the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. Viability means the ability to live outside the womb, which usually happens between 24 and 28 weeks after conception. In other words, the Constitution of the United States was being challenged due to the fact that a person, which is we're going to see is referred to as Roe, so the Constitution of the United States was being challenged because this person believed it is a fundamental right to have an abortion and the government is not to interfere with this decision. So you can see the divisiveness that that could cause. Now the outcome of this lawsuit took place on January 22nd, 1973, just over a year later when the Supreme Court ruled 7-2 that unduly restrictive state regulation of abortion is deemed unconstitutional. In other words, the law passed that stated that the lack of access to abortion was unconstitutional. As of January 22, 1973, abortion was then deemed a right to any United States citizen within a specific time frame of the baby being conceived, meaning that if a baby was not capable of surviving outside of the womb, you would have the legal right and protection to kill it. Fast forward to June 24th, 2022, the landmark decision was made by the United States Supreme Court that abortion was not, in fact, a legal right. And the decision was then delegated to the states, many remember this, where they would determine their own law on abortion. Almost 50 years of debate. And in 2022, the way was paved for the states to finally legally criminalize abortion. But you could see that this lawsuit is still at the center of discussion today. It continues to make headlines with the title Roe v. Wade. Now, as a Christian, we hear this decision a couple years ago. I remember where I was when it happened, and of course, we celebrate. A lot of this outcome is the result of the faith of the judges that were put in the Supreme Court, that God appointed enough judges in this court to finally live out their convictions and put an end to this inhumane murder of the unborn. And yes, that is definitely something that we should celebrate as Christians. However, with elections now just over a month away, just under a month away, Roe v. Wade is back on the table again. And it continues to make headlines. What is the latest stance on this issue, you're asking? Well, the Democratic Party candidate that's seeking election has stated this directly on her website. Vice President Harris and Governor Waltz trust women to make decisions about their own bodies and not have the government tell them what to do. As a president, she will never allow a national abortion ban to become a law, and when Congress passes a bill to restore reproductive freedom nationwide, she will sign it immediately. So you're hearing this topic of abortion, and first of all, welcome to Hope Community Church. But you're saying to yourself, well, here we go, this pastor is going to shove this pro-life down our throats. All of us Christians, we already know where we stand on this issue. Well, unfortunately, that is no longer true. Based upon a poll that was conducted in 2020, it was concluded that 29% of self-identified Christians do not consider themselves to be pro-life on the issue of abortion. I'm going to read that again because I really want to make sure you hear that and that it sits with you. There was a poll that was conducted in 2020, and it concluded this. About 29% of self-identified Christians do not consider themselves to be pro-life on the issues of abortion. That is one in three self-identifying Christians claiming to be pro-choice. The issue of abortion that was once a no-brainer for the Christian is now up for debate. And you could see where propaganda comes into play. This crime of murdering unborn children is now being promoted by the liberal propaganda machine as pro-choice. And so many people make their political preferences and decisions based on this one topic alone, the topic of abortion. And so many churches refuse to take a stance on this topic because it's deemed political. My friend, taking the life of an unborn child is so much more than politics. This is a biblical issue. This is a moral issue. I'm going to say it again. Murder is a biblical issue. Now give me a chance. You're here and you're just about to walk out. You're on the edge of your seat and you're like, five steps to that back door, I could be out of here. Give me a chance. I'm not going to condemn today. But I am going to go as far as saying this. And please give me your ears for this one sentence. You can't be a follower of Christ and be pro-choice. You can't be a follower of Christ and be pro-choice. You can't be a Christian and support a candidate that desires to wipe clean any laws that put restrictions on, let alone supports, abortion. And not only that, but also have a reputation of doing so. I'm going to say it again because I want everyone to hear this, and I truly believe that the church is not being outspoken enough on this topic, and it's causing this trend. It's really what the reason that we're even seeing this up for debate is because we aren't being outspoken enough about this, and we're seeing these pro-choice Christians, if you can even put that in the same sentence. So I'm going to say it again. You can't be pro-choice and be a Christian or support a candidate that is seeking to run a nation where they desire to put these policies into law. So as you can see, we have a lot to talk about this morning. But please, again, listen fully before walking out or turning off your feed online. I want you to please continue to watch. Don't just keep scrolling. Stay right where you're at. Because I want us to take a moment to realize who could be watching or listening right at this very moment. There are many walks of life that are listening to this, whether here in person or online, some that have had an abortion in their past, and they can't shake that feeling of guilt. Some that are still claiming allegiance to Christ, yet believe being pro-choice is justifiable. And yet there are some that neglect the importance of this topic altogether as it relates to our faith, because again, they just don't want to venture into that which is political. This is such a heavy topic for so many, and unfortunately there are so many that are so close to us that have not been outspoken about what they have gone through. My prayer for us today and myself, is that we will not only have clarity on what the Bible says about abortion, but you will also see the grace and the goodness of God even amidst such a divisive and sensitive area in our nation. So if you have your Bibles, let's look at what God's Word has to say. Luke chapter 1, we're going to have a little bit of a different angle at it. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 45. Luke chapter 1, that's the third gospel in the New Testament. If you're having trouble getting there, please ask your neighbor or the person in front or behind you. They'll help you. I'm going to be using the same version as the Bibles that are in the back of the seat in front of you. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 45. Let's start by reading verse 26 to 33. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Point number one. All life comes from God. All life comes from God. So Mary had just been told by an angel that she was to give birth to a baby. Now we just read it. Keep in mind, Mary was not yet married. She was betrothed. This is similar to maybe like what an engagement would look like today. It wasn't an official marriage. She was soon to be officially married to Joseph. Now this is an important detail because she was a virgin at the time. The marriage was not yet consummated. So she had never had sex, she was not yet married, and an angel of the Lord came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now could you just imagine the skepticism of Mary? when this angel spoke to her. She's probably like, favored one, who are you? And why are you talking to me like this? I don't even know what you are talking about. And then this angel gives Mary instructions that change not just her life, but change the history of the world. This angel said, look with me back to verse 31 through 33. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So you have Mary, a virgin who is not yet married, being told by an angel that she is going to bear a son, and this isn't just going to be any son, it is going to be a son that is going to have a never-ending kingdom. Now, what is shock that would be to Mary? Now what's her reaction? Does she get mad at the world and walk around in disbelief? How dare that they put this burden of being a mother onto me? Does she want to go around and say, I just want to enjoy life for myself? Did she begin to look at this pregnancy as a setback or a hindrance to her career instead of a blessing? You see, this is such a big issue that we are witnessing in our world today. Men and women who want to wait until their youth is over and then maybe have children at some point when they can just settle down in their mid to late 30s, 40s. They want to create memories now, because this is something they won't be able to do once kids come in the picture. Man, let me tell you, I have been on this planet for just over 30 years, and the best memories that I have are the ones that I have made over the last 6 years of being married, and even more so than that, the last 4 years of having children. Children give you the best memories, and they are not to be looked at as a hindrance, but rather a blessing. All the memories that I have had prior are nothing compared to the memories that I have made with my family. Now, Mary here was not looking for a way out of this. She was not looking for a way to end this pregnancy, to terminate it. She was not looking for a cop-out. Sure, she might have been shocked, maybe a little bit confused, and really rightfully so. But she was excited beyond all doubt, because she was now be able to claim the title of mother. So she gets this news that she's going to be a mother, and that this child is not a normal child. And what does she do? Let's keep reading. Verse 34. Let's go all the way down to 38. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Oh, it doesn't stop there. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month that with her who was called barren. Verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Point number two, God appoints life according to his will. God appoints life according to his will. So now you see Mary going back and forth with this angel about how in the world could she get pregnant, considering the fact that she's a virgin, and to which the angel responds that she is to get pregnant not by man, but because God saw fit for Mary to be the one that would be the biological mother of the Son of God. So you're getting pregnant not by man, but because God is seeing fit. You are the, what does it say? Oh, favored one. Now this does not, don't take this context, this does not mean that we are to put Mary on a pedestal. Okay, God chose Mary to be the mother, but that is only because God chose her. It's not because she was anything above any other godly woman. There's a lot of questions we can ask, but don't get answered. God is not to be put on a pedestal. Or Mary, I'm sorry. It's too bad we can't edit, you know. Mary is not to be put on a pedestal. So this angel is giving her the reason that all of this is going to happen. And then says, oh, and by the way, your relative Elizabeth, who is old in age, she's also pregnant. So there's a lot that Mary is being made aware of right now. In just, a few short verses in the Gospel of Luke. This angel comes up to Mary, tells her, you have been chosen by God. You are going to carry this child, and it's going to be the Savior of the world, and there's going to be no end to his reign, and all this stuff. This is going to be the Son of God. And Mary's probably hearing this, and she can't wrap her mind around the truth that this is going to happen. And then all of a sudden she gets the news, and also your cousin, your relative, Elizabeth, who's also your friend, is pregnant. And she's old, and she's pregnant. So Mary's probably hearing this, and then she just probably looks and gets white and blank in the face. And if it was me, I'd just hit the floor and pass out. You know, they didn't have social media back then. They didn't have text messaging. So you couldn't just, hey, I'm pregnant. You know, so what does she do? We're going to get to that in a minute. But the angel made sense as to why all of this happened. He said it in verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. You know, this now opens the door for us to go a bit deeper into this discussion of abortion. You know, it's you open the door of abortion, and on the other side of that door are just about a million other doors that you could walk through on this topic. And I'm gonna get to the reason later. Maybe we can have a whole series on this down the road, but we're gonna try to keep it in line today. But one of these debates that go back and forth as a reason to justify abortion is because of rape, as a resulting in pregnancy. And this is a topic that many hear, whether Christian or not, and you have a hard time defending the right to life when such an awful, dark, an evil thing like rape could happen to anyone. And of course, this just goes to show just how dark of a world that we live in. Now, if you have been pregnant as a result of rape and you're watching this online, or someone sent it to you and they said, hey, check this out. I want to say this to you. I am so sorry that you have had to experience such an evil and awful and dark circumstance. No one deserves that. But I also want to tell you this. Before you come to the conclusion of abortion, please know that there is hope. There is always hope. A friend that was close to me a number of years ago got herself into a season of life where she became addicted to heroin. And she was heavily addicted to the point that she needed to use every day, sometimes multiple times a day. And this went on just for a couple years. And she barely made it out of it. It got so bad that one of my friends and I, all three of us were kind of friends together, and we had stopped contacting her because we just had assumed that she had moved away. We just never heard from her anymore. And you know, while she was using and she was living this life, she was also sleeping around. And she ended up getting pregnant by accident. because she was in her late teens, she was left with a choice. Does she abort the child and terminate the pregnancy? Or does she keep the child and commit her life to raising him? Well, by the grace of God, she decided to keep the child and continue on in her pregnancy. And thank God that she did. She ended up giving birth to a healthy baby boy while all of us were just finishing up high school, not even knowing what to do with ourselves. And this baby was used by God to force her to become sober so that she could take better care of her son and become the mother that she needed to be. The father of this boy was nowhere to be found. But even though she struggled, she had everything that she needed to help her baby boy grow up. And today he is around 10 years old, and the father has actually come back into his life. And as she was telling me this story, her son was about 2 years old at the time, she said to me these words, I may have made the choice to keep my baby, but it was my baby that saved my life. She told me about how she was on the path to get deeper and deeper into her addiction to heroin to the point that it would have cost her her life. She knew it. She said it with a clear conscience. If I would have kept on this road any longer, I would not have made it. But it was at this time that God saw fit to give her a child that forced her to become sober and get her life on track that would not only help the baby to survive, but them to thrive as a family. See, God appoints life according to his will. My friend, you may not know the answers. You may not know the life that is in front of you, the decisions that have to be made. But God's word says in Psalm 127, verse 3, and hear this from the depth of your soul, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Let me be clear that there is no issue. You know, many use now this excuse that there's not any direct scripture that speaks into abortion. They say that God never spoke directly on this topic or on this issue, so really it's up for us to decide. Well, I firmly believe that there is no issue that the Bible does not speak clearly on. And to not believe that is simply just an excuse to justify sin. There may not be a verse that says abortion is sin, but there's also not a verse that says meth is a sin. But do you do meth? You see, there's a lot of issues in our world today that were not issues at the time of the Bible being written because the authors assumed that the readers would know them to be sin. And for example, abortion. The Bible says in Exodus 20, verse 13, Deuteronomy 5, verse 17, Leviticus 24, verse 17, and many others with these exact four words, you should not murder. Or in Jeremiah 1, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. My friend, God does not just know the unborn. He deeply adores them. He has a purpose for them. And he absolutely loves them. You know, we call them unborn because they are children that have not yet been born out of the womb. But they are children nonetheless, moving and kicking with hearts pumping and blood flowing, even able to recognize their mother's voice. They're clearly not just a clump of cells or a fetus. They are a living baby, an unborn child, human life. Let's bring it to the surface a little bit. You know, at 8 weeks, when we got the ultrasound for my oldest daughter, she's almost five now, she's four and a half. When my wife was 8 weeks pregnant with her, we went and did the whole ultrasound ordeal, and you know, they show you the baby inside, and I'll never forget that the nurse, she said, "This is a very busy baby. Look at her hands and her arms are moving. She is squirming around in there nonstop. Can you believe it? Look at her. She's so active." 4.5 years later, nothing has changed. I say that because God knows every detail and every part of your being before you are even born. How are we to say with a clear conscience that we should be pro-choice? So Mary got the news. Let's get back to the text. So Mary got the news that she was to get pregnant and also that her relative was pregnant. So she had to go, what did she do? She had to go see for herself what this was all about. Let's read verse 39 to 45. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Verse 45, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Point number three. Life is given by the grace of God. Life is given by the grace of God. So this conversation with the angel takes place, and Mary is in absolute awe of everything that has just been told to her. And she decides for herself that she has to go and see who she just realized was pregnant. He's like, "Elizabeth, Elizabeth is pregnant." It says that she went with haste, or she went in a hurry and went to Elizabeth's house to see for herself. And then when she gets there, verse 41 says that when Elizabeth... pay close attention. I don't want to lose you here. Verse 41 says that when Elizabeth, who was pregnant, heard her greeting Mary, who was also pregnant, the baby that was inside of Elizabeth leaped in her womb, and then she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you seeing what's going on here, church? So Elizabeth is aware of Mary's pregnancy before Mary could even describe what had happened. This is the reason that she is filled with the Holy Spirit at this moment, because she believed that Mary was bearing the Son that is her Lord. Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Notice how Elizabeth is already giving Mary the title of mother, even though the baby had not yet been born. So Elizabeth keeps going. She says, verse 44 and 45, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby that was in my womb leaped for joy." So the baby that is in the womb, hear this, of Elizabeth, the baby that is in her womb leaped for joy at the presence of the baby in Mary's womb. Are you seeing what's going on here? The baby that is inside Elizabeth is worshiping the baby that is inside Mary. You see, they're not just alive. They're not just humans. They are humans with the ability to worship despite the fact that they have not even yet been born. My friend, what we are reading here is the very truth that an unborn child is not just alive, but that they were created to know God. And because of this, we can see that being pro-choice doesn't really give the baby a choice. Because I'm pretty sure that if the unborn baby could choose, he would choose to live. You know, someone once told me, someone once said it like this, I've noticed that everyone that's for abortion has already been born. And by making that choice, you as a mother would not just become changed in receiving that title of mother, but that baby will change your life. You know, so many claim that the Bible is not clear on the topic of abortion. But Dr. Luke seems to address this issue head on, because the right to choose wasn't an option. It was to be considered life's greatest joy to bear a child, regardless of the situation that the child was conceived. Now here's a disclaimer that I want to give. I know that there are women out there experiencing real hurt or are in very unsafe relationships and you're just finding out that you're pregnant. I'm not trying to sugarcoat these tragedies. I'm not trying to say anything like, but you should just be grateful for a child, even in the midst of all that's happening. My heart goes out to you with the most sincere prayer for safety, and that the Lord would place the right people around you to help you and support you. There is not enough time in this sermon for me to get into the reformation that needs to happen in the family court system, or the help that we can be as a church to single mothers. There's not enough time for that. And as I said, maybe we can get into a sermon on the sanctity of life down the road. But I do want to plead to you. Your sweet child still deserves the chance to live. And I plead you, I beg you to make that decision. Church, we talked a lot about truth today. What if we talk about grace? Can we talk about grace? Say, let's talk about grace. Now, as I said, there's a lot that are here that are, or maybe some that are watching online, or maybe you have someone in your life that has chosen abortion at some point. If you're listening, and maybe you've been hiding that decision, maybe you've been keeping that decision that you made from people that are so close to you that no one knows about it, or maybe you've lived out your decision with pride for all of the world to know. I want you to know this. Jesus loves you. Jesus forgives you. And Jesus sees the guilt and the pain that you are enduring at this very moment. Be outspoken about your struggle, about the guilt that is overwhelming you. You would be surprised about how many people are willing to help. Jesus loves you and he forgives you and he sees the guilt that you are enduring. Despite what you have been told, despite the harm that has been done to you as a result of your decision, Jesus loves you just as much today as he did prior to you choosing abortion. He not only loves you, but he forgives you. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This sin that God forgives is not limited to the depth of our sin, but rather to the depth of God's love for us. My friend, he sees you. He sees the pain that you are carrying. And he loves you and forgives you. Accept his forgiveness. Now, if that's you and you have chosen that road to abortion in your past, I want you to understand your baby that you have chosen to abort is in heaven with Jesus at this moment. I believe that. And when you are to put your faith in Jesus, if you are to raise your hand and say, I accept Christ as my Savior, I want His forgiveness in my life, I need that in my life, He is now the Lord of my life. When you put your faith in Jesus, you can be in heaven with your baby that you chose to abort. That is grace. That is how the grace of God works. I've heard it said before that the Apostle Paul was welcomed and ushered into heaven by the very people that he murdered. That's how God's grace works. He is a good God. He's a loving God, and He is a forgiving God. So in a world where choosing life for a child is even an option, let us remember that it is God that has brought us to the place that we are today. And if He can provide your every need, He can do the same for your child. Let us look to Him at times of confusion. Let us cling to Him in times of uncertainty when we don't have all the answers. And let us point to Him and give Him the glory, no matter our situation. Let us point to Him and give Him the glory in a world that tries to give us every reason not to. In a world that proclaims pro-choice, us as people of God must be pro-life and fight for it. Let's pray. God, heavy on my heart right now is that person that has walked through this season of life and has carried the guilt from it. They've tried to suppress the guilt. They've tried to ignore it. But God, that doesn't hinder you from showing them your forgiveness. God, give them peace. Give them rest. Show them that forgiveness is found in you. You're a God that forgives. And God, we say thank you for the reason that you are a God that forgives. And that's because of your cross and your gospel, that you sent your Son to earth to die on the cross for our sins, not just dying, rising again 3 days later, so that through faith in Him, we can have eternal life. It's in His name we pray these things. Amen.